There we go. Thank you, Paul. I appreciate it. You guys are going to have to be louder today. Everybody's, you know, doing their thing. So, hey, be praying for Nomi and the kids that are coming back from their mission trip. They're driving home. And on her way to Joliet, she was experiencing some car difficulties. So we're hoping that she can get home without any car difficulties. But so be praying for them. And it's been a good trip for the teens. Nomi says there's been just a lot of really cool things happen on trips. So we look forward to hearing from them when they get back. And so God is doing some pretty cool things. And it's kind of awesome to be able to see that and be a part of it. And we're going to get into our message here. And so let's go to the Lord in prayer, and we'll dig in. Father God, we just come before you right now. Lord, we thank you that, Lord, you love us totally and completely. That, Father, what really matters and what really counts is our relationship with you. I ask, Lord, that right now, if there are those here in this room that do not know you, that, Father, that you would help them to come to that place of decision, that place of commitment in their life, of finally surrendering to your will. And Father God, those of us here that claim you as our Lord, our Savior, our God, our Father, Father, we just ask that you would fill us with your Spirit, help us to understand the gift that you have given us through Christ, that, Father, that we would live in a way that our lives would honor you, that they would glorify you, and that, Father, ultimately, too, that it would just be in your power. And so we give it to you in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, so I got a little bit of a trivia here I want to ask you guys. All right, here's a quote. I want to see if anybody here knows where this quote came from. You don't stop playing games because you grow older. You grow older because you stop playing games. Anybody? Nobody knows where that came from?
Mark Hosnager, 2024.
I wish. That's a great quote, isn't it? Let me say it again to you. You don't stop playing games because you grow old. You grow old because you stop playing games. Actually, it was made kind of famous because of the movie Tag. You guys remember the game, the movie Tag? It was a bunch of adults that had been playing tag since they were kids, and they continued the game all the way through adulthood. And anyway, so that was one of the quotes they threw up, and I think they attribute it to to Benjamin Franklin, I think. But somebody's going to have to Google that one. How about this one? Age is a state of mind. Anybody hear that one? A couple of you guys have heard that one, right? Okay, some of you guys that are older have heard that one. And what do you think of that statement? There's silence in the room. Age is a state of mind. I used to think, that's a good one. And then I went to do some lessons on a snowboard, and I've grown up skiing all my life. And I spent so much time on my butt because I couldn't get up and I couldn't quite do the snowboard and balancing. And the instructor, she was a nice gal, but she came up to me and I was like, I don't know, I think I'm just too old to learn this. And she said this statement to me, age is a state of mind. I just wanted to about kill her. It's like, I'll show you state of mind. My state of mind has nothing to do with the fact that I can't stand up. So how about this one? Only the youth believe that they can train their bodies into being young. You guys ever heard that one? Philip, where did that one come from?
No idea.
No, you queued it up earlier. Okay, only the youth believe that they can train their bodies into being young. That's my quote. Here it is. I said it right here today. You can tweet it. How's that? Whatever that means. No. So.
Your first quote was George Bernard Shaw.
George Bernard Shaw. There you go. Thank you for Googling that for me. So now we know where it really came from. But this is my quote, and I believe this. Only the youth believe that they can train their bodies into being young. I have reached a stage in my life where I realize no matter how much I train my body, it will never be young again. It hurts. We went backpacking last week, and we went up to Upper Holland Lake. And that wasn't bad. We got up there, and it was fun. We went fishing. It was awesome. And then we were like, hey, the next day, you know, this was only like 6 miles to get up here. And, you know, it was about a little over 2,000 feet in elevation. The next day, there's a couple other lakes. Let's go to the other lakes and try to fish those before we go down. It'll only add a couple more miles to it. Well, the next day ended up being 12 miles. And it ended up being over 3,000 feet of elevation gain. And by the time I got home, I could hardly walk up and down my stairs. And the next day, I couldn't walk up and down my stairs. And the third day, I was like, I might have to go to the hospital because I can barely walk up and down these stairs. There is a thing where it is like, oh my gosh, your body gets older and older. Today, Tom is on his second day, and this is amazing. He's on his second day of running a 300-mile race. Can you imagine running 300 miles? He has 7 days to complete it. He's on his second day. He's doing good. He's right there in the pack. He's being able to complete it. And the elevation gain is more than twice that of Mount Everest. Yeah, that's what he's doing, elevation gain, in his 7 days. And here's the clincher. Be praying for him, because nobody has ever accomplished this race. Tom has signed up for a race that nobody has ever accomplished. And he is in it right now, running that race. That's where he's at, and his family's over there. So cheer him on. Be praying for him. If you're interested, there's a tracker. You can follow what he's doing. There's like 14 others that are running this race with him. But even talking to Tom, you know, he trains like crazy to be able to do this. All year long, he trains to do this. And as you talk to him, he realizes there's a time limit. Because our bodies just get older. They wear out. There's a time where you just can't do it anymore. And none of us want it. We all, when we're young, deny it. When we're older, we curse it. we really struggle with the reality that our bodies naturally mature, right? I mean, it is the process. Our bodies naturally mature. But part of our issue is not the fact that our bodies naturally mature. I think part of our struggle that we really have to deal with is our minds and our spirits don't. You catch that? Our bodies naturally mature. They, as you feed them, they grow. They may not be healthy, or they may become healthy. I mean, it depends on who you train things, but our bodies naturally mature. But our minds and our spirit don't necessarily naturally mature in time. And yet, I think we often take the same approach with those things as we do our body. We're just going to let it happen. And so, today we're going to look at some verses here, and we're going to talk about what it means for our bodies and our minds, or not our bodies, but our minds and our spirit to mature. I mean, can you imagine if we can live a life that is full of zeal, that is hungry for what it is that God has for us, to be in a place where we're not only hopeful, but we're optimistic about our future and the things that God has for us. See, there's a way that we can actually grow mentally and spiritually in a way that our character changes, that we can experience God on a greater level. And often we kind of satisfy ourselves of being mediocre. We really don't reach for those things. Look over here in First Peter chapter 2. I'm going to read you verse 2 and 3 here. We've been working through Peter, and this is what he writes. Like newborn babes, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up into your salvation. Now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. So real quick, my little grandson, Eldon, back there, that everybody claims looks just like me, which makes him awesome. So tell me, Abel, how often in the middle of the night does he crave milk? No.
Seven.
There you go. All right. Seven times. So it's still seven times in the middle of the night. Hannah told me earlier that they were up like at 3 o'clock in the morning and just pretty much haven't gone to bed since. And so Eldon is keeping them up all night long. Every couple of hours he gets up. And why? Because he's hungry and he wants milk, right? Like a newborn babe. Now think about the reality of that. He is constantly hungering because his body is growing. And the reality is the fact that his body is changing so fast and so rapidly that he is constantly hungering more and more. He needs it. Matter of fact, if he didn't get that nutrition, he wouldn't grow. And so he longs for it and he wants it because his body is changing and growing that way. How much does your spirit long and crave the things of God to grow and mature in it? If you think about it, and in your life you say, well, it's been a long time, then I would say to you, then you probably are not growing. Because if you are growing, and if you're like a newborn babe who is growing rapidly, you need it. You crave it. You hunger it. It drives you crazy. You can't even sleep at night because you need it so badly. How long has it been since we've been in a place in our spiritual walk where we crave the things of God so desperately that it wakes us up and we want God to move in our life and we hunger for his voice, that we hunger for him to be able to move and do things? If Peter is encouraging us to say, hey, listen, you know that God is good. You've tasted it. You know it. You've experienced some kind of spiritual awakening in your life, that the reality is that when you're in his presence, when you're in a place of worship, when you're serving and you see God move and when you see connections happen where only God could have worked those things out, you go, man, that is so awesome because I got goosebumps right now. You guys ever get the goosebumps? It's like, ooh, okay, that's got to be God. And all of a sudden something physically happens in your body where you go, there's something going on there. The reality of the midst of this is sometimes we go through these dry periods in our life and we get more and more used to them. And the more and more used to them that we get, the less we actually step out of our comfort zone, the less we actually hunger for it, the less we actually try to see God move in our life, and we're not craving the things that he has for us. 1 Timothy chapter 4 says this, starting here in verse 7. Have nothing to do with godless myths and old wise tales. Rather, train yourself to be godly. For physical training is of some value, but godliness has value for all things, holding promise for both the present life and the life to come. I don't know about you guys, but quite often I think about my physical body and the training of it. It usually comes in spring. And I usually think about it all the way until November. And then usually in November, it's like, oh, it's the holidays. Time to relax. It's time to eat. It's time to sit back and enjoy the snowfall and just enjoy the winter. And then come January, I go, oh, dang, I enjoyed a little too much. Right? You guys know what I'm talking about? All right? And then you get back out there and you start doing things, and as soon as you have to work and you're breathing a little bit harder, and it's like, oh, what did I do to myself again? And you begin to realize that I got to do something on a regular basis to keep my body in shape. I got to do something on a regular basis in order to be able just to keep my muscle. Now that I'm older, I never used to think about that when I was young. I never worked out when I was young. A lot of you guys go out and you work at the gym and do different things at the gym, and I never did that when I was a teenager or when I was in my 20s or in my 30s or in my 40s. I never did it. I always thought this is the most boring, stupidest thing ever. It's just, if I'm gonna do something, I'll go work. you know, cut firewood and, you know, hike a mountain. And that's what I did because that would entertain me and I could do that where if I went to the gym, it just bore me to death. But some of you guys, you're kind of built that's what motivates you to go and to do those things on a regular basis. And hats off to you guys. That's awesome. But it's really interesting because Paul's pointing out to Timothy, a young pastor, saying, hey, listen, you know, you are surrounded by a culture that values the body. And we know that. If we look at the art of the Greeks and we look at the art of the Romans, they value the body and they value the athlete. And they look at it, and the Bible has a lot of different things about being an athlete and running the race and training your body. And so that was the culture of the time. So he's speaking to Timothy, who probably has the realization that in order for him to stay healthy and fit, he has to do things to continue to train his body and to work on it. But he reminds him to say, hey, listen, as much effort and as much thought as you put into that, realize you need to put the same kind of thought and effort into your spiritual maturity. And the reality is your spiritual maturity actually is way more important. See, the body is great, and we want it to work, and we want it to function. And I think it's honoring to God that we stay healthy. I believe that. I think it's important for us to try to strive to be able to stay healthy and to be fit. Because then we're more available for whatever it is that God has for us to do. But at the same time, not at the expense of your spiritual training. How often do you think about your spiritual walk and your spiritual training? Do you ever sit down and go, you know, hey, this week I need to start thinking about dieting. I probably should start walking. Some of you are like, well, I should probably up my weights. I should, you know, do some different, you know, things. I need aerobics or I need strength training. And so we think about our body in that process. What about your spiritual? And being able to stop and go, okay, spiritually, where am I at? Is my faith strong or do I need to do something that would actually strengthen my faith? Am I actually doing anything for the Lord? Because there's something about when I step out of my comfort zone and actually do, when I actually serve others, that God speaks to my heart in a totally different way. When I put aside selfishness and I actually sacrifice for the needs of others. What about my relationships? My relationships are super important because that's what's super important to God. That's his priority, is relationships. And he's given me the ministry of reconciliation. He's given me the ministry of building relationships. So am I good in my relationships? What am I doing in those areas? See, spiritual maturity is more than just, do I know who Melchizedek is in the scripture? Spiritual maturity has to deal with a whole lot of different aspects of how we think and how we function with our mind, with our hearts, with our character, with our faith, with our service. So being able to look at that, just like we look at the body and say, well, you know, my upper body is toned, but my lower body is not. Actually, that's why I always wear shorts, because I actually have very sexy legs. I'm just joking. You guys just need to laugh a little bit. But think about this. Here's the deal. As we got to be able to look at ourselves and go, okay, God, where am I lacking spiritually? And those are some of the things that I need to step into. Because spiritual training is of value, of greater value than the physical. Often what happens, I think, is just like our physical body, that tends to continue to mature, but it can mature either healthy or unhealthy. We can either have a life that is full of experiences and enjoy a long life, or we can have a life that we're struggling with health issues and a lot of things that we miss out on, depending on how we treat our body. Spiritually, I think it's the same thing. I think when we fill ourselves with the things that God wants us to fill ourselves with, when we fill ourselves and we train our body spiritually to crave what God has and how he works on our character. Those things mold us and shape us to be able to experience a spiritual life that a lot of other people don't get to experience. You're able to actually overcome some of the battles of this world, the temptations of this world, some of the struggles and the hardships, because guess what? The hardships and the struggles are coming. They do to everybody. You're not going to avoid it. But how you handle it has a lot to do with your spiritual maturity. Being able to be in a spot where you're able to walk through the storms and have peace that surpasses the understanding, that comes because of spiritual maturity. The peace comes because you have a mature faith in God. And you think about it. When you're in the middle of a storm, the struggle that you have is doubt and frustration and fear. So if doubt and frustration and fear is something that happens in your life, if you're totally anxious about something, then the reality is there's a place there where you haven't spiritually matured in your faith with God, because he's got you. Totally. He's got it. None of this takes him by surprise. He loves you. He's going to take care of you. So you hold on to him. Not onto your circumstances. But we can grow weak in our character and our spiritual maturity if we don't feed it the right things. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, the verse right before what I read to you guys like newborn babes, Peter writes this. He says, "Therefore, rid yourself of all malice, of all deceit, hypocrisy, evil, and slander of every kind." He lists out a bunch of things of this world, a bunch of things that are sins, things that are no good at all. Last week we talked about the fact that we have freedoms, that God has died for us, and that we have this place where we're okay. We're in God's grace because he loves us totally and completely. And it's not for us to actually sit there and say, hey, I need to do this in order to be able to earn God's favor, to hold on to that grace. We don't have to hold on to grace. Grace has been given to us. So we have a freedom and we have a place where we can live in the midst of that. But yet at the same time, there are things of this world that are sin. They're the evil desires that come out of us. And matter of fact, almost all desires that come out of us are tainted some way or another with sin. And so when we give into these desires, what happens is we begin to feed our soul junk food. When all you eat is sugar or all you eat is donuts, when all you eat is stuff that is garbage for you, you are not going to be healthy. Tom Wolfe is not here. He's married now and in a different part of the state. But whenever we get together, Tom would always show up with a box of donuts. And I always give him the hardest time because maple donuts are like the hardest things for me to reject. It's like they're so good. I don't know what it is about maple donuts. They're just so good. You know? But man, I eat a maple donut and afterwards I'm going, ugh. And I've gotten myself off of sugar enough that now when I eat one, my head spins and I can feel it. It's like, ooh, this isn't fun. And my stomach's like upset. But my tongue goes, but this is so good. You know what I'm talking about? You guys know what I'm talking about, right? You know, when you're younger, you can eat all that junk food, and who cares? My daughter, my youngest daughter, I have never seen anybody put down the candy like she can put down candy. Oh, my gosh. I mean, she can eat sugar. I used to eat sugar like crazy. There's no way anymore. I can't even have a pop anymore without it just totally tearing me up. It's crazy. How we train our body, what we get used to. I think the same thing happens spiritually. When we're in a work environment where everybody's cussing and telling bad jokes, or they act in a way that is, you know, racist, and they think it's all funny. When you grow up around that, and you're in that, and you work around it, you don't think anything of it. because all you've done is consumed garbage. But spiritually, when you begin to train your body and your mind, and it's like, this isn't right. This is not what I want. I want the things of God. I want the things that are lovely and pure and noteworthy. I want to concentrate on the things that God would want me to concentrate on. Things that are noble and praiseworthy. And you start training yourself in those things, and you start saturating your life in those things, and you rid yourself of the other stuff. It's amazing how all of a sudden your body, your spiritual body, begins to change. Your character begins to change because you're no longer filling it with junk food. Over here in Galatians chapter 5, verse 16, Paul writes these things. So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit what is contrary to the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want. But if you are led by the Spirit, you are not under the law. So think about it this way. Change the scenario. Since we've been talking about maturity, and we can see the body, and it's easy for us to understand the growth of the body and maturing of the body. Think of it this way. If you were to look at it and say, hey, listen, you are supposed to walk in a way that is healthy. You are supposed to train yourself in a way that is healthy. Stay away from junk food. If you crave and are active in junk food, you are not going to want to exercise and do the things that are good for you. But if you do the things that are good for you and you stay away from the sugar and all that bit, then the reality is this other stuff will make you sick and you don't want to have anything to do with it. You ever around folks that, like, they eat really healthy and you offer them something that is like junk food and they've been doing this for a long time? They kind of look at you and go, no way, that's like poison. I wouldn't even touch that. And you're like, what are you talking about? This is not poison. This is like good stuff. You know? Why do we think it's good? Because we've trained ourselves that it's okay and we've indulged and it's like this is awesome. And it's amazing how when you begin to train your body in certain ways, and this is what I'm going to eat, or this is what I'm going to process and let come into my body, how there are certain things that you crave, whether it be good, or there are certain things that you crave, whether it be bad, all depending on how you've trained your body and how you eat. The same thing is spiritual. That's exactly what Paul is talking about here. When you train your body by what you listen to, what you indulge in, what you're around, what you take as entertainment, when you train your body and you dig into spiritual things and you listen to God and you pray and you meditate, when you talk to others about spiritual things, when you participate in serving others out of the love that God has given you, depending on what you saturate yourself with is going to become the thing that you actually crave. It's going to be the thing that actually begins to mold and shape your spiritual walk. If you struggle in your spiritual walk because it's like, man, I have certain temptations and I have certain things that keep coming at me time after time after time, it's probably because we have rooted ourselves in what is not healthy. Paul goes on here. Verse 19, he says, the acts of the flesh are obvious. Sexual immorality, impurity, debauchery, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, discord, jealousy, fits of rage, selfish ambitions, dissensions, factions, envy, drunkenness, orgies. There's a long list, isn't there? There's so many things in this world that we can indulge in that does not help us. They come out of a place that we think at the time it brings us pleasure, but we all know that as soon as we indulge in it later on, we deal with shame, we deal with struggles. And when we indulge in it, it makes it harder to say no next time. Paul writes at the end of this, I warn you, as I did before, that those who live like this will not inherit the kingdom of God. Imagine little Eldon back there who is growing so fast and rapidly, who craves milk every couple hours and keeps his parents up. Imagine if they went, you know what? This is ridiculous. Pop is so much cheaper. When he cries in the middle of the night, we're just going to give him pop. He would be a true American. Well said. You know, what would happen? It wouldn't take long at all. It wouldn't take long at all. It probably would take less than a week before the doctors would look at him and go, there is something seriously wrong with this child's health. He's not growing like he should be. There's issues that are happening here that need to be taken care of. We know that would happen because it is so essential to a child to actually crave that milk, to crave what is actually nourishes him and takes care of him. We know that so much so that if he is robbed of that, if there's something that goes haywire with that whole system, then his health, his growth, what he will become later on in life, or whether he even gets that far, is so hinged on what he partakes in and what he is involved in as far as what he's eating now. If there's so many references in Scripture about our spiritual maturity, shouldn't we stop and take note and realize how essential it is for us to actually crave and dig into the things of God? To reject the things of this world, to recognize the evil desires in us, and walk in the Spirit and not in our sinful desires. That's what's awesome. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Lord and Savior, He died on the cross for our sins and set us free, and we go, woo, yes, awesome, because I couldn't do it. He's done it for me. So I've received this grace, and I believe in it, this faith that I have in Him. He says, I'm saved, and now that I'm saved, I'm going to live out my life in a way that is honoring and pleasing to God, not in a way that holds on to my salvation, because I actually know what it means to be loved, and so I want to love Him back. And when I grasp that, what happens is God goes, I put my seal on you, my Holy Spirit, so that when I look at you, I see that you are mine. You are my child. You are a new creature. You are born again. And the Holy Spirit gives us power to actually live in the strength of the Spirit, to actually crave the things of God, to be able to walk differently, to be able to walk in a way that is honoring to God, because it's His Spirit living in me. I am now empowered by the Creator of all the universe to be different, to live different, to understand what He understands, to have His mind. All I have to do is either choose to follow after the Spirit and His goodness, or to choose to fall after my own sinful desires, to be lazy, to walk away, to stay in step with the Spirit is to grow spiritually mature, to allow the fruit to start taking place in our life, to see things that happen in a different way, for our character to change. See, when we walk in spiritual maturity, when we walk in a way that is honoring to God, when we crave what He has for us, when we live in a way that we want these things more and more in our life, it is amazing how it actually changes who you are. It changes your response. It changes what you're tolerant to. It changes the way that you think, the way that you respond. It changes your character. And your character becomes something that is not filled with all these evil desires, but your character is something that becomes full of the fruit of the Spirit. The love, the joy, the peace, the patience, the kindness, the long-suffering. These are the things that God puts into our life. Immaturity justifies its actions. Think about that for a moment. Immaturity justifies its actions. When the little boys get together and they start pushing and shoving, and the next thing you know, somebody's got a bloody nose. You come in and go, okay, what happened? You're going to hear, well, he pushed me first. Right? Isn't that going to be the words that come out? We already know it. The scenario is so common and so often because what happens? Because it is our natural nature to go, I need to justify myself, so it's their problem. Right? I mean, it's so basic. That's how the scriptures start off with Adam and Eve. Well, the woman you gave me, you know. We do it. It's our sinful nature. We justify. It's an immaturity. We justify our actions. When we look at this and say, well, I can't grow spiritually. My character is really not going to change. You don't understand. I had bad parents. So, you know, you don't understand. I work in a really horrible situation. And well, you just don't understand. You know, the people that are around me really don't love me. And what we do is we find ways of justifying our actions. We justify not spending time with God. It's like, well, I can't get up earlier. I'm already stretched. This is really hard, or I have a hard time, you know. That might be true. The other one might have shoved you first. But that doesn't mean you're mature. You still punched them back, which means you're immature. Your response is actually what determines whether you're mature or not. So when we justify ourselves, you may be right. But that actually doesn't mean you're mature. Being able to be mature means you own it. This is who I am. This is what I do. This is my problem. Being mature means not only do you own it, but you also grow to a place where you despise it. I do not want that in my life. I do not want to behave that way. To get to a place where we despise it means we finally get to a place where we discipline it. I'm not going to do that again. If I do that, then I'm going to have to confess it. And then I'm going to have to tell people that I love that I messed up. So we have to own it. We have to despise it. We have to discipline it. And if we can't discipline it, then we actually have to seek help. To say, hey, I have a problem and I need somebody to pull me out of this. I don't know how to get there. Quite often what happens in immaturity is we do not know that we're immature until we actually hang out with people that are more mature than we are. Do you know what I mean? You hang out with a bunch of high schoolers and it's amazing. They all think they're pretty mature. Until you take one of them and you stick them in with a bunch of 30-year-olds. And then all of a sudden they realize, ooh, my language, my behavior may not be as mature as I thought. See, who are you surrounding yourself by? Who are you seeking help from? Being able to live in a way that you glorify God, in a way that you surround yourself by others that would encourage you and spur you on, is the path towards maturity. And how you treat your spiritual maturity, your spiritual health, has a lot to do with what you're going to experience and see in this life and in the life to come. I want to read you one last verse here. Matthew chapter 5, looking at verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. And if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled underfoot. You are the light of the world. A town built on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on a stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, In the same way, let your light shine before others, that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Your spiritual maturity is probably the biggest witness you'll ever have. How you live your life, the things that you crave, the things that you do and act upon, and the power of the Spirit is what draws other people to Him. This is your spiritual act of worship. Father God, you have loved us so much, even while we are in your enemies, which means, Lord, that you've loved us even when we're still messed up. And Father, maturity does take time, and it takes experience. And so, Father, help us not to get down on ourselves if we're not quite there yet. But Lord, put a hunger inside of us. Put a hunger inside of us as much or even more than poor little Eldon back there who craves his mom and dad every night. Father, help us to come to a place where we long for your presence, where we long for your touch, where we long for your word, where we long to be able to walk in the presence of your Spirit. That, Lord, that you would grow rich inside of us. That, Lord, that we as a congregation spiritually would be like Tom. That whenever you mention running 300 miles, people will go, what? That whenever people are mentioned from Explore Church, they would go, holy smokes, oh yeah. They walk with God. That they would be blown away. Lord, not for our glory, but for your glory. Because, Father, that's what we really want. We want to see you glorified. We want to see your name proclaimed. We want to see those that are lost, those that are struggling, those that are brokenhearted, those that are held in captivity set free. Now, Father God, that you would rescue them, that you would change their life as you've changed our life. But Father, help us not to feed ourselves with junk food, but by your precious Spirit, your spoken word, that we would grow in maturity in you. In Jesus' name, amen.